At the UPS store, we know being a small business owner means holiday time is still go time. Still get those orders shipped time. And still re-up on stamps and supplies time. That's why this upcoming holiday, while others close up shop, we'll be open. And happy to help you keep being unstoppable. Come into your local store today. Most locations are independently owned. Product services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable.
Welcome to Playful Beginnings, a podcast about the magic of play therapy for therapists, students, and anyone interested. In our podcast, we'll explore the deeper understanding of play therapy and the skills we use when working with children.
We hope to help you understand the why behind what we do and how it helps kids heal and grow. I'm Dr. Christy Opiola, a working play therapist and university professor in North Carolina.
I'm Dr. Maggie Parker, a play therapist and professor in DC.
So Christy, last week we talked about the play therapist asking questions, and I thought it would be really cool to also think about it in the reverse.
Oh, reversal.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
And what do you do when a child is killing you with questions in the session, right? Or like interrogating you?
Yeah.
Typical relationship, right?
I want them to have the freedom to decide for themselves. And sometimes it's like, that's not going to work. Kind of like when you were talking about when we were talking about books, like, do you know what this is? Do you know what this is? Do you know what this is? And at some point it's like, am I not understanding the child if I don't answer this question? But some of them are hard.
They are hard. Because some of it is self-disclosure that you may or may not want to discuss, right? Like with a child, or you don't really think is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
To share. And on the other hand, I think it's pretty normal to want to know a little bit about the person that you're spending so much time with in therapy. And, you know, consciously or unconsciously, you know, they're getting to know you really well and you know very little about them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that does feel a little odd or, you know, very one-sided for kids. And I mean, all kids ask questions, young and old, right? But I find that it really starts to be more frustrating to a child the older they get when there is not reciprocity in relationships and they really are starting to understand that relationships are a give-take relation, you know, like interaction.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, this idea of therapy as like the therapist being kind of like the blank slate is really hard. And the more we're learning about the importance of culture and individuality and individuals, the more it's like, okay, so it is important to share aspects of yourself and what are you okay sharing? And I noticed that with my students too. And also recognizing that the more you open up, the more there is that they have, right? And so trying to be mindful of that, I'm not very good at that. Especially with students, I'm just like, here I am. But with kids, I'm very mindful of like, what is it? What is the purpose and the drive of this question? Like, where is this coming from? And trying to reflect that too. So one of the ones I think that's the hardest for me is, do other kids come here? Because I want them to feel special and important. Like, this is your playtime. And I also have to understand, like, are you gauging whether or not I'm like this with everybody? Are you upset? Are you jealous? Do you need to feel special? Are you curious that there's something wrong with you and that there's only one, you know, you're the only one that has something quote unquote wrong, and really trying to understand that when I reflect it?
That is a hard question to be able to answer quickly or concisely. It's also a hard question to reflect sometimes because mm-hmm. you have to understand the intent behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Give a reflection. So just out of curiosity for our maybe more beginning play therapists, so do you not answer questions people ask you?
No, I will. I mean, I think what I start with is a reflection, right? Like, you're really curious. You feel really special here. You like that, you know, like, this is your special playtime, or you're worried that you're the only one here, or even like you're worried that if you, like, you really want this to stay this way. right? Like, because sometimes they'll like make something or they're like, put this on the wall. And you're like, oh, that's really important for you that this is your space. But if it keeps coming back at some point, I'm like, oh, you really want to know. And yes, I, you know, whatever the question may be. I
And
have had a student or a client ask me if I was the same age as his grandma. And I was like, huh, I don't,
I
how old
could.
is your grandma? I was like, I don't know. Like, but yeah, I do try and reflect it back to their intent and return the responsibility to them. But there's a point where it's like, you really, this is important for you to know. What about you?
Yeah, I normally reflect like the feeling first. You're curious, you're worried, whatever I think the feeling is. And I stop there and see if that suffices. Because sometimes it's just the acknowledgement that I'm understanding where this question is coming from. They don't always need an answer. And some kids need an answer, but I don't just answer questions. It also is really dependent on why this kid is coming to therapy, onto like how I'm going to respond to that. You know, for kids who have a lot of curiosity, I probably will just return. I won't just. I will return responsibility to them to give them some autonomy to make decisions in the play space. And then for other kids, I might reflect, like, you're really curious about me, or you're really curious about what happens in this play space when you're not here, right? And it depends the setting, because like in private practice, they see the next kid who's coming, so it's not like they don't know other kids who are coming. And in the school environment, which is where I also see some kids, they see me pulling other kids out of their classroom. So they know other kids come to the playroom because they tell me, like, I know, you know, Maggie comes in here. I know, you know, Joaquin comes in here. I know Javier, you know, plays in this play space too. I see you come get them. So it might be more, you know, curiosity or wondering about, like, well, what do they do in the playroom? Like, you're really curious about other kids in this space. And so that I probably won't ever answer. And I often give the statement, right? Like, you really want to know what Maggie does in here. But just like for you, I would not discuss with anyone else what you do in the play space, right? Or I won't discuss what you do in the play space with another kid. Because it's not anyone, right? Because I do tell parents thematically what's happening, or if we're consulting with teachers, if things are working, I'm going to share with the teacher in the school place if I have a consent to do so. But I wouldn't share with other kids.
I think you've shared an example of when someone really needed an answer, and it was so beautiful. And your awareness of the little kid who really did not like your
Talked.
responses, like over and over, like didn't like the other play therapist. And then they were like, oh, you're different. And then they're like, wait a second, no, you're not. I was like, why are you talking like this? Why are you talking like this? So what, like, so I guess maybe like tell the story. I don't want to tell it for you. And like, what clued you into how to respond?
Yeah, I think that. So one of the things that I think is really hard as a beginning play specialist is to really trust your gut and reactions, right? Because that's not in the book. The book doesn't say trust your gut. The book says respond this way, respond this way, respond this way, right? Or, but I do think there is a component of therapy when we are really integrated, when we're really congruent, right, and authentic in the space, that I am really attuning to what you're needing. So I do want to say that up front. I've shared this in an earlier podcast. Had a kiddo who was had a lot of attachment disruptions, was at the time currently in a foster family, and was seeing a student of mine first, but had some pretty big attachment issues. And so she was graduating, and so we were deciding who would be the best therapist. And I just felt like this kid needed more consistency than having a different clinician each semester, or because the next clinician that was coming in was only going to be there one semester and then they were going to graduate. And so I picked this kid up in the school environment so they could have more consistency of a therapist for a longer period of time. He did first say, or they did first say, that I don't like the way my last therapist talked, which I knew because I watched all the, you know, like as a supervisor and a consultant, I was watching for the university, I was watching each of these sessions. So I knew his responses. pretty holistically. And he, every time this past therapist spoke, this child would be like, "Stop talking. Why do you talk that way? I hate when you talk that way." So was very adamant. I had seen it for a while, came in. The client had seen me, so I wasn't new to them. I was just new as their therapist. And so they were like, "Oh, good, you're going to be my therapist as long as you don't talk like my last therapist," or something to that effect. And I was like, "Oh, shoot, this is going to be interesting." So first session, right? Like, kiddo fell and, really enjoyed themselves. They were excited, and they end it with, "Oh, thank goodness you don't talk like my old therapist." And I was thinking, okay, I do, but if you're experiencing it different for whatever reason, that's what it is. And like 2 or 3 sessions later, I went to go make a response, and they were like, "I said, don't talk like my old therapist. Why are you d-?" All of a sudden, it like caught on that we speak similarly. And so, he would tell me to be quiet, to hush. He taped my mouth shut. Like, he did all these things to convey that the way I was talking
Comfortable.
was really uncomfortable, was from his perspective problematic, right? And so I tried the whisper, right, to respond in a whisper to see if that helped. It didn't help. I tried all different things initially. I conveyed, "You don't like the way I talk. I told you not to talk like my old bear." It didn't matter what I said. The client was just really adamant. And so I paused, and just something inside of me said, right, like, maybe if you help him understand why you respond the way you do, that it would not feel as threatening or as uncomfortable for this kiddo. And so I chose to say, "I talk this way because I want you to know that I understand, and that understand how you're feeling, what you're thinking. And it's important to me that you feel heard and understood in here." And they were like, they sat. They really thought about what I said, and they were like, "That's why you talk that way." I was like, "That's why I talk this way." And they're like, "Why?" I mean, like the big, "Why didn't anyone tell me this?" And they were just very surprised. And not one other time did this client tell me not to talk, or that they didn't like the way I talked. Conceptually, it makes sense to me, like when I came to that realization in the playroom, right? Like with this. Potentially with this kiddo's background, to really be fully seen and heard was threatening, right? Because when you're fully seen and heard, things happen, like you get taken away, people aren't there. And that is really what this kiddo was playing in the playroom, this idea that he's at fault for all of these things that are happening in his life, which, couldn't be further from the truth. Well, there might have been a little truth to some of the things, but holistically, that wasn't the case. And so it felt important for him to understand where I was coming from. Also, this kiddo had experienced some abuse and other things. So a lot of things had been like projected on to this kiddo. And so for him to have better understanding of like what my intention was felt really important in that moment to me. And so that's why I responded that way to this kiddo, so that he could really understand, right? Like my intention of wanting to get to know him and how important he was, right, to me as a play therapist, and the value that I had in him. And that really like shifted our relationship pretty holistically. I want to say it was one of the first big leaps I took outside of like our textbook to say, like, this is not a rote response. I mean, I started to do some of that before that, but it was probably one of the big first leaps that I made in trusting my intuition and leaning into the person-centered side of things, as far as, like relational connection, understanding that, right, each of our skills has intention and purpose. And we have to match the intention and purpose of what we choose and how we choose to respond to the needs of the clients that we have. And so it wasn't really a question that he conveyed to me, as more of his behavior was kind of illustrating that his discomfort, right? Like, it was really hard for him to engage in relationship when I was trying to understand him. So helping him know that I really desired to understand him. And I use these responses to help him know that I'm present, available, interested, and wanting to understand was really important.
I just think that's such a neat story. Are there any questions that you won't answer?
I don't know that I have a hard line, if I'm going to be honest.
I can't think of
some that I don't think are appropriate. You know, like I wouldn't answer really personal questions that clients ask, you know, about my personal life. That's probably the hardest core. But sometimes I think there's a way to answer those without actually answering them. You know, like.
And I think those really come more with the older kids, like I've had some very pointed questions about my romantic relationships. And I'm like, that is not, we are.
Because we sometimes those get posed for us to ask them about. And so just kind of like having empathy in those moments of like really putting our clients on the spot. And not that I would answer those. I'm not saying this to convey that I would answer them, but just it builds a lot of empathy for me when those questions come up. Like, gosh, how do my clients handle this when we have to ask questions about this with them? And so nonchalantly and just so, you know, like, hey, what about this? And that can be really hard for clients as well. I have a pass rule. Like you can pass on anything.
Oh, yeah.
Act and there's something that you don't want to talk about, you can just tell me, you know, like I pass. And so I give that permission both ways, right? Like you may ask something of me that I'm going to choose to pass on. Just like if I ask something of you that you're not really comfortable sharing with me, you can pass on me. So I kind of convey the permissiveness of this space of really going in the directions that you want to go in and not maybe the way I'm hearing something in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually the questions that I get from the younger kids are, why are you talking that way? Who else is in here?
Why do I have to come here?
Why do I have to come? Do you have kids? Like, do you see other kids here?
Yeah.
And then
here. That's my favorite.
Do you live here?
Here.
You see me here a lot. You think that would make sense?
Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite. It's related to when I worked in the hospital, but I was out shopping and like a kiddo that I worked with saw me out at the shopping mall and they were like, why aren't you at your house? And I was like, my house? Yeah, your house. And like it all of a sudden dawned on me. I was like, oh, they think I live in the playroom. Like they think that's physically my home.
Mm-hmm.
Really cute.
Yeah. But usually I've found that like it. Go ahead. Sorry. What?
Like sometimes I get, you have a mom? Do you have a mom? Because it's odd. Even though many families, you know, have extended families and kids are exposed to that, they just don't see how that applies to other people.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't like usually when a kid asks me a question and it takes me like off guard, right? And I'll be like, and I feel like I'm having like a, but I don't usually physically have a response. Maybe I did when I was first starting out, but I do like sometimes feel a little like dissonant and I'm like, okay, what? And that's where I'm like, clued in and trying to understand, like, if I'm feeling this, what are they feeling in this moment? What are they trying to get? And usually if I make a reflection, then it will kind of go away. Like one time I had a client who, and I kind of forgotten about this, and really struggling with like self-concept and perfectionism and anxiety and body image, you know, and they were like, well, is this how you spell this word? And
oh.
I was like, in here you can decide. Yeah. And they're like, no, I need you to tell me. And I was like, oh, you really want to know? And then later, you know, the caregiver was like, they really did not like that you'd not tell them how to spell this. And so the next time when they started asking me, I was like, you know what? I'm going to be really honest with you. I don't know how to spell this word. And it was completely an honest response because I am not a good speller. I'm just not. And like, sometimes they would do math equations and I'm like, I really don't know the answer. Like, do you really wish that I could tell you? And then it would also help me reflect, like, it's important to you. Like you, it makes you feel worried if it's not like quote unquote right or correct. And And that's, it's important for who you are to feel as if you're doing it right. You know, and I might just be like, in here, there isn't right. And I think even just like me saying like, I don't know, was helpful for this child because they were so caught up in like, if what that meant for them, if they didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a young child who was like in an older grade in advanced placement courses. And so there was just a lot of pressure. And I was, so I think it was kind of nice for me to be like, I have no clue.
Yeah. I don't know. It's funny because sometimes we do know. And so that would be a disingenuous
right.
response, right? So in those situations, I've taken it more of like how important it is for them to be right. It feels really uncomfortable not, you know, to make a mistake. And sometimes if they're like, but do you know how to spell this? Oh, you think I know the answer. But what's most important is here is that you get the opportunity to spell it just the way you think it sounds, right? Sit in that discomfort. It's okay.
Yeah. I don't lie. I won't say I don't know how to spell it if I don't, but there are a lot of words that I'm like,
I don't know.
Like I's and E's and C's and Q. I'm like, I don't know. And the new way they do math.
Yeah. That could be a whole different topic.
It's very confusing. I mean, it's like, even when I like write on the board in class, I'm like, you're going to have, how do you spell this?
Yeah. I tell them. I'm a terrible speller. I'm going to just say it up front. And writing on a board is so much harder than writing on paper. But the other question I've gotten recently, right, and I'm curious how you would respond to this, is I have a client having a birthday.
Oh.
And so I got invited to their birthday party.
Oh.
If I send you an invitation, will you come to my party? And I'm like, oh, sweet peanut. No. I will not come. And they don't understand like the ethical, you know, they don't understand the rationale for why we wouldn't go. And it, and the relationships feels really important to this client. And sometimes we do form really strong bonds where, you know, they really do see you as almost like a friend over a therapist, which I think is a good quality in, you know, identifying our strong relationship. And I still have to have limits. Right. And I still have to not be able to attend. But it's always a hard question.
That is a hard question. How do you like?
Yeah, I just convey, you know, the importance of our relationship typically is how.
Yeah.
I guess it's something like, I'm trying to remember how I started to word it. And she's like, but you're really an important friend to me. So then I was able to use what she was saying.
Yeah.
You know, our relationship is really important to you. It would be important to you for me to be there. Unfortunately, I can't come. And I don't even give a rationale.
Yeah,
The sweet girl said, well, we're going to go to, so if you tell me what you want, I'll have your mom, because, and it's so sweet. This mom, instead of doing a big birthday party, they want to go to, they each get a gift card so they can spend what they want. And so she's like, so we'll get a gift card with this much money. So if you look on the website and tell me what you want, I'll bring
it.
And I said, oh, that is so kind, right? And I think I whispered this to her. I said, I actually get a paycheck. So I can go ahead and buy my own stuff. So if you want to buy something special for yourself, you can do that, right? And if you want to bring it in and share it with me, I'm happy to see what you get. But it was really funny because I was like, no, you're not going to spend your birthday money on me, or like, as she's telling me all the things she wants. And so I was just like,
that's so sweet. Well, and I think that's like also something like that we can talk about maybe next week, is those like kind of ethical things where you're like, like attending events or giving of gifts and stuff like that, that I try, you know, to maneuver. Or even when you see,
touch in the playroom.
Touch in the playroom. Yeah. I mean, that could be all in and of itself a whole 25 minutes. But yeah, I think those are, I think usually they are satisfied with the reflection and you understanding the intent behind it. And but sometimes I just answer, not after reflecting a couple times, right? Like I'm not just going to give the answer right away.
Yeah. My rule for myself, and I share this with my students, is you should reflect. You should reflect. You should return responsibility. If that doesn't work, you should reflect and respond.
Mm-hmm.
right? So it should be your first response for the most part. Sometimes if it's an easy color, easy question, like what is your favorite color, right? You're really curious about me. Yeah, what's your favorite color? Oh, you really want to know what my favorite color is. Yeah, what is your favorite color? Ah, you're really curious. My favorite color is yellow.
Yeah.
I just state it because it really doesn't matter. Now, if they're picking out a crayon and they want to know what color I want, I actually won't answer that one.
I might say something like, it seems like you have a favorite color.
Yeah, you can do that one too. And sometimes I'll just say in here, you can decide what color that I can use. I don't have a preference. It's typically what I say so that it's really child directed. And now as we're finishing, one more question always pops up is the, when they want you to make a decision. Playroom, you know, like,
what should we play today?
Shopping. Like, we're going to go to the store and you can buy things, right? And so then it's like completely undirected. I try the whisper technique. They're like, no, you decide, right? Like, so it's like they're really forcing you to make a decision and conveying the message, right? What's most important is in here, you get to decide what we do and how the play goes. But sometimes that comes back and back and back and back and back.
Like when we play a restaurant, that happens a lot, you know, and they'll be like, okay, here's the menu. What do you want? And I'm like, oh man, like you worked hard on this. And, you know, like, and I'll reflect and usually at some, like after kind of like what you're saying, like I would typically say like three reflections and then or a turning of responsibility, and they'll be like, well, this one's really good, so I'll make this for you. Or, you know what, I'm just going to get you both. I'm like, oh, okay, great. I get to try all of the things.
That's what I normally say. I couldn't decide either.
Yeah.
I just reflected in the relationship. Yeah. Right or wrong, you know, in the end, I love something that Sue Bratton, she says it in the CPRT relationship training, but I also think it's really impactful as play therapists, right? Like, how am I going to respond in this moment that maintains the relationship? So if we're going to have a huge rupture, it doesn't mean doing for or giving in. It's really about, what do I need to do in this moment to maintain this relationship, to make this child feel heard and understood, prized and treasured in our time together? And that does sometimes give me the answer that I need. Also consultation and supervision when I was earlier about like, I tried everything and it just didn't work. And, you know, I feel like I did more dysregulation than regulation in the playroom. And I know this is an issue, but like, how do I respond to this? Or how do I respond to her in this? And, you know, that's where consultation and supervision can be super helpful because they are trickier moments in the playroom.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Christy.
Thanks, Maggie.
It's always fun.
I know. Please go back and listen to some of our other podcasts. Also, I know we started with this, but if you have topics you want us to hit, or if there's certain ethical things that have come up for you, you would like us to explore or discuss. We do want this podcast to be interactive. This is not just Maggie and I. I mean, we could talk about anything. So that's not a problem for us, but we want to make sure this is meaningful for you. So please send us your ideas. You can put a comment below this podcast, or you could also let us know on Facebook, Instagram, as well as to our emails, info@playtherapyspace.com, Maggie@playtherapy.com, or Christy@playtherapy.com. We would love to hear from you. Let us know the topics that you want us to discuss. And we hope you have a very happy spring.
Happy spring. Well, thank you, Christy.
Thanks, Maggie.
It's always fun.
I know. Please go back and listen to some of our other podcasts. Also, I know we started with this, but if you have topics you want us to hit, or if there's certain ethical things that have come up for
Yeah.
you would like us to explore or discuss, we do want this podcast to be interactive. This is not just Maggie and I. I mean, we could talk about anything. So that's not a problem for us, but we want to make sure this is meaningful for you. So please send us your ideas. You can put a comment below this podcast, or you could also let us know on Facebook, Instagram, as well as to our emails, info@playtherapyspace.com, Maggie@playtherapy.com, or Christy@playtherapy.com. We would love to hear from you. Let us know the topics that you want us to discuss. And we hope you have a very happy spring.
Happy spring.